House, please come to order. Good morning, and would the members please indicate their presence? Madam Clerk?
25 members present.
Do we have a quorum? Mr. Majority Leader,
Mr. Speaker, there are no excused absences today.
Imagine that. Great. Rounding out the week with us again, it's the Reverend Kathleen Wakefield of the Church of the Holy Trinity, who sent us with an invocation. Would members please rise?
Let us pray. O God, the source of creation, ever present in the changes of this world, be present with your people who cry to you for help. Empower us with vision and strength to enable the peoples of this earth to acquire the skills and resources necessary to a growing world. Enable those from countries with plenty to share their lives, funds, and resources with those in need. Embolden those with vision to proclaim new ways of creating communities of responsibility. Engage us in learning from one another and in valuing the unique gifts that you have given to the people of every land. Bless your people, O God, who cry to you. Amen.
Jim Grunberg, can you lead us in the pledge?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that that prayer be spread across the journal.
Objection. The prayer will be spread across the journal. Thank you again, Reverend Wakefield, for being with us this week. Madam Clerk, would you please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 73rd legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal of the previous day be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Objection. The journal be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk. Are there guests for introduction today? Rep. Sam McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, what an honor it is for me today. I have two lovely young women who are here guest paging from my district, and I will start over here closest to me. I promised her I wouldn't embarrass her, so I'll see how well I do. Sarah Schroeder's here with me today, and her grandfather's behind me here in the Elizabeth Pratchett Gallery. Many of you might know him, Mr. Don Smith. She attends eighth grade at Mears Junior High, where I went to junior high school. She holds a 4.0 GPA and attends all honors classes. She's also a member of the National Junior Honor Society, which you know, Mr. Speaker, is a lot of hard work. She has been a gymnast for 4 years, and she's level 6-7. She's involved in Mears Community Service Program. Her parents are Doug and Colette Schroeder. She has one brother named Corey, who she says she really likes, and one sister named Amanda, who she likes better. And she's going to be writing a report on her experience here as a page, so I look forward to seeing what she has. So please help me welcome Sarah Schroeder. And then, Mr. Speaker, over here to my left, it's an honor to have Tanya Parrish. She's been with us here before. Her father is Dave Parrish, who many of you know and have seen around the Capitol, and his wife is Ingrid, her mother. She's a fifth grader at Bowman Elementary School in my district. She participates in Girl Scouts and the yearbook staff and has completed this year's statewide robotics engineering competition. So look out for this young lady. She also plays youth soccer, and she's a member of the AYSC Arsenals under 12 age team. So please help me welcome Tanya.
Are there further guests? Rep. Sam Stokes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a couple of fourth-generation Alaskans in the Warren A. Taylor Gallery. There are a couple of young ladies I've known all of their lives. They're both seventh graders, but at different schools. My niece Amanda is a seventh grader at Teevan Middle School. My niece Brianna is a seventh grader at Mirror Lake Middle School. And I told them if I brought them down, they didn't have to write a stinking report. But it's really a privilege for me to have These girls are both anchors in the parade floats that we have two consecutive first places in the Chugiak Independence Day, and we're going for our trifecta next year in my reelection campaign. So I want to have the body help me welcome them, Amanda and Brianne and Schultz. And Mr. Speaker, if I just continue on more, I'm going to. I've never poached before, but at least on the floor here, so I want to. I want it, but the young fellow here is also somebody I've known all of his life. He's a fourth grader at Denali Elementary in downtown Anchorage. He's active in Cub Scouts and Pop Warner football. He crushes some bones out in the field. This is. He came to the Capitol when he was pretty young and introduced here. He probably doesn't remember when he was just a couple weeks old, but it's a pleasure to have Tavish Logan here today.
Representative Hawker?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, the speaker before me may have reluctantly poached. I'm going to blatantly poach from the representative from District 35, who's 25, who's not here at the moment. Janet McCabe in the Paratovich Gallery behind me is visiting with us today. She's the chair of Partners for Progress here working with us on wellness court issues. It's my particular pleasure in that in addition to being a constituent of District 25, she proudly considers Hope as one of her homes as well. So I guess I have a certain proprietary interest here, and I'd like everyone to join me in welcoming Janet with us.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you. As long as we're poaching, I really don't know who am I poaching from, but I'd like to introduce this individual. I don't know if he'd been introducing the floor, but his daughter was just introduced, and he's been helping me a whole lot and to champion and fight and try to get Donlin Creek, the mine and the gold mine, a reality. Dave Parrish.
Are there any other poachers? Seeing no further guests for introduction, that brings us to messages from the governor. Madam Clerk.
A message dated March 22nd stating in accordance with Alaska Statutes 3905080, the governor submits the following names for confirmation to the boards and commissions as set out. Board of Agriculture and Conservation, Mr. Pete Alexian, Mr. Alan Baldwin, Ms. Rhonda Boyles, Mr. Donald Brainerd, Mr. Peter Fellman, Mr. Sam Lightwood, Mr. Ron Long.
Those names will be referred to the Resources Committee consideration.
Occupational Safety and Health Review Board, Mr. Thor Christensen.
Mr. Christensen will be referred to Labor and Commerce.
And Personnel Board, Ms. Laura Plinert.
Ms. Plinert will also be referred to Labor and Commerce.
There are no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Are there messages from our colleagues down at the other end of the hall?
A message dated March 24 stating the Senate has passed the following, transmitted it for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 277, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education, Relating to the Alaska Student Loan Corporation, Relating to bonds of the corporation, relating to loan and grant programs of the commission, relating to an exemption from the state procurement code regarding certain contracts of the commission or corporation, making conforming changes, and providing for an effective date.
Refer to the Special Committee on Education, Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
There are no further messages from the other body.
Other communications.
From the Department of Natural Resources, received the annual report for the Alaska Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys. And the annual report from the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. There are no further communications.
Reports from our standing committees.
The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 421, Deed of Trust Reconveyance, recommends it be replaced with Committee substitute for House Bill 421, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending due pass Crawford, Lynn, Gatto, Roper, Dahlstrom, Guttenberg, and Anderson. The report was signed by Anderson Chair, House Bill 421, as a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 424, Regulation Review, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 424, Judiciary, with a new title, attaches an indeterminate fiscal note and 2-0 fiscal notes, recommending due pass Meyer, Fate, Foster, Harris, and Williams, do not pass Hawker, no recommendations Stoltz, Jewell, Moses, and Chenault. The report was signed by Harris and Williams, co-chairs. House Bill 424 has no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 440, Pioneers Homes, Veterans Homes, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 440 Hess, with the same with a new title, recommending due pass Cisna, Deaton, and Wilson, no recommendation Kapsner and Coghill, amend Gatto and Wolf. The report was signed by Wilson Chair. House Bill 440 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 472, Claims Against Healthcare Providers, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 472, Judiciary, attaches a 2-0 fiscal notes, recommending do pass Anderson and McGuire, do not pass Guerra and Gruenberg, no recommendation Samuels, Holm, and Ogg. The report was signed by McGuire Chair. House Bill 472 has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 490, Employment Security Act Amendments, recommending due pass Lynn, Gatto, Dahlstrom, and Anderson, no recommendation Crawford, Roekberg, and Guttenberg. The report was signed by Anderson Chair. House Bill 490 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 517, Security Account Beneficiary Designation, recommending due pass Samuels, Gruenberg, Ogg, Holm, and McGuire. No recommendation, Guerra. The report was signed by McGuire Chair. House Bill 517 has no further referral. There are no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Are there reports from our special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Are there citations or resolutions for introduction?
There are no citations or resolutions for introduction.
Are there bills for introduction?
House Bill 543 by the House Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Medical Assistance Coverage for Prescription Drugs and Providing for an Effective Date.
Referred to the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee.
House Bill 544 by the House Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Providing that Public Members of the Board of Trustees of the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation may be removed only for cause and providing for an effective date. A letter and 2-0 fiscal notes were attached.
Referred to State Affairs.
House Bill 545 by the House Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Relating to the Extension under the State Procurement Code of Terms for Leases for Real Estate and Certain Terms for Certain State Contracts for Goods and Services and Providing for an Effective Date. A letter and 1-0 fiscal note were attached.
Labor and Commerce and Judiciary, get that one.
House Bill 546 by the House Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, entitled An Act Relating to Regulation of the Discharge of Pollutants from Timber-Related Activities under the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, relating to waste treatment and disposal permits, making conforming amendments, and providing for an effective date. A letter and a fiscal note were attached.
That will refer to Resources and Judiciary.
There are no further bills for introduction.
That brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. At this time, we are going to take about a 20-minute at ease. So if you report back to the chambers at about 10 minutes to 11, we can reconvene. So stand at ease. Welcome, Miro. House, please come back to order. Prior to the at ease, we were approaching consideration of the daily calendar, but prior to that, Representative Lynn, you were seeking the floor.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, may we return up the calendar to introduction?
Without objection, we'll revert back up the calendar to introduction.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not poaching, by the way. It's my great pleasure to introduce one of my constituents, Mr. Gary W. Olson. He's with the Alaska Moose Federation. He's been talking to several of us. Welcome to General.
Representative Jewell. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under introduction of guests in the Taylor Gallery is a longtime friend, somebody who's worked for our regional corporation, NANA, for, 31 years, I believe. Somebody who's been on our borough assembly, somebody who's been a part of AVEX Board of Directors, been involved in our regional search and rescue, a longtime friend with the body. Please help me welcome to Juneau, Walter Sampson. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, under introduction of guests, and I appreciate the opportunity in the Paratovich Gallery, sitting with one of my staff members, Willow C., is her brother, Jared Garrison C., down here to visit with us in Juneau. Would you please help us welcome him?
Representative Kastner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning. In the Elizabeth Paratovich Gallery, we have two very special guests who work very tirelessly for in the effort of affordable energy in rural Alaska. With Alaska Village Electric is Mira Kohler and Crystal Enquist. Please help me welcome them.
They are tireless individuals who have worked PCE issues for years. And Representative Morgan has, I believe, a very good solution that maybe he can get with you later on. Representative Williams.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker.
Morning.
I'd like to invite a constituent of mine. I think she still is. She's the commissioner of DEC. Ernesta and I go back quite a ways, I think, since 1999 when she worked for the Cape Fox Corporation. And I was one that tried to hire her, and we did. And she also helped me get this job that I'm in today. Without her help, I don't think I'd be able to, I'd be sitting here. But I'd like to ask you to help me welcome Ernesta Ballard to Juneau.
Representative Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under introduction of guests, I have a guest here from the Mat-Su Valley today. Her name is Mary Alice Larson, and she's with the Behavioral Health Services of Mat-Su Incorporated. They just built a big building out off of Spruce Road, Lucille Road, and Wasilla, and they're doing an outstanding job, and I'm just so glad to see her down here with us in Juneau, so if we could give her a big warm welcome. Thank you.
Anyone else? Our introduction of guests. I think we've covered the galleries. Which brings us back down the calendar to consideration of that daily calendar.
Brief it is.
House Sanities. House, please come back to order. Madam Clerk, would you please read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill 123 by Representative Moses, Kapsner, and Foster, entitled An Act Relating to the Allocation of Money Appropriated to the Alaska Human Resource Investment Council and Providing for an Effective Date. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 123 Finance, with the new title attached to Zero Fiscal Note, recommending due pass Moses, no recommendation Meyer, Hawker, Stoltz, Croft, Chenault, Harris, and Williams, amend Foster. The report was signed by Harris and Williams, co-chairs. There's one committee substitute.
Without objection, I'm going to refer House Bill 123 back to the Rules Committee. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item? We've been invaded by a group of small people. Representative Wyrock.
thank you, Mr. Speaker. Camp Americana is upon us.
And our introduction guest, Representative Weirach.
I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker, thank you. These are Cub Scouts from Southeast Alaskan Juneau. Because it's spring break, they're in day camp this week. It's Camp Americana. Their leader is Chris Carnes. Chris, if you could stand up. And then the boys and girls with Camp Americana, if you could all stand up, we'll introduce you. There you go. That's them. Mr. Speaker, there is one person I'd like to introduce. Barclay Weirach.
For those of you on this side, you perhaps can't see him. He's the tall guy back there. Seeing no other introduction of guests, we will return back to the calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item?
House Bill 524 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor entitled An Act Relating to the Protection of Land and Water from Waste Disposal, Providing for the Regulation of Waste Management, Making Conforming Amendments, and Providing for an Effective Date. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommending Dupas, Lynn, Stepovich, Hines, Dahlstrom, and Masick. No recommendation, Gatto. The report was signed by Dahlstrom and Masick, co-chairs. I have an amendment number 1 by Representative Hines, beginning page 5, lines 5 through 6.
Representative Hines.
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment 1.
There is an objection. Representative Hines.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amendment 1 is a friendly amendment, and it will mandate that the Department of Environmental Conservation define in regulation the financial test for non-traditional forms of financial responsibility. The department has indicated that there are instances in the issuance of a permit where traditional forms of financial responsibility may be unavailable to a permittee. By traditional forms of financial responsibility, I mean bonds, letters, that type thing. There are two advantages to having the department craft regulation for a financial test. Applicants will know ahead of time what level of financial fitness they have to demonstrate in applying for a permit. The department can better ensure that a permittee will be able to live up to that financial responsibility. Mr. Speaker, my fellow members, amendment number 1 is about giving DEC further tools to protect Alaska's land and water, and I ask your support.
I stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Prior to the at ease, we were discussing amendment number 1. Is there further debate on amendment number 1? Is there an objection? Seeing none, then amendment number 1 is adopted. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 2 by Representative Hines on page 6, lines 6 through 7.
Representative Hines.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number 2.
Is there an objection? Seeing no objection, amendment number 2 is adopted. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 3 by Representatives Seaton, Stoltz, Gatto, Coring, Harris, and Curtula.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number 3.
Is there an objection? Seeing none, amendment number 3 is adopted. Madam Clerk, are there further amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 554 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Seeing no objection, we are in third reading. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the final time?
House Bill 524 amended entitled An Act Relating to the Protection of Land and Water from Waste Disposal, Providing for the Regulation of Waste Management, Making Conforming Amendments, and Providing for an Effective Date.
Under debate, Representative Hines.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The earth as a whole neither gains nor loses much matter, including water. This means that the same water that existed here millions and millions of years ago is still here. The same water is continually being recycled. It's entirely possible that the water that you're sipping on the house floor is probably, or could be, as we all toast, the same water that Mama Dinosaur used to bathe her baby. Now. Most of you have seen the 8-foot by 7-foot map in my office, which is covered with the beautiful blues and greens of the oceans. Those oceans cover 75% of our Earth. 3% of the water's world is fresh water. And of that 3%, 75% is stored in the polar caps. Yeah. Which is not, by the way, on my map. The rivers of the Earth contain 0.0001 or 1,000% of our fresh water. There's more water in the atmosphere than there is in the fresh waters of our rivers. Under Title 46, the Alaska Statute declares that it is the policy of the state to conserve, improve, and protect its natural resources and environment, and control water, land, and air pollution to enhance the health, safety, and welfare of the people of the state of Alaska. The governor has asked the departments to compare their programs to statutory policy. Raindrops to Oceans is DEC's initiative to move the state of Alaska towards a better program protecting Alaska's waters. Under existing law, the Department of Environmental Conservation regulates discharges to surface waters, discharges to groundwater, and the disposable solid and liquid waste on the land. The existing statutory authority for these programs allows for broad general powers in some areas and in others prescribing detailed requirements. These authorities do not provide adequate regulatory tools for efficient regulation of wastewater and disposal. This bill would change existing statutory authority by reorganizing and supplementing it and allow for tailor-made permitting. Currently, we have individual permits, general permits, and in the new toolbox, we have permits by rule, plan approvals, integrated waste system permits. Also in the bill, it changes proposed to existing law would address requirements for proof of financial responsibility for certain types of waste treatment. Current law explicitly requires such financial proof only for permits to dispose of hazardous waste. This bill provides DEC to accept proof of financial responsibility by the Department of Natural Resources for mine reclamation instead of requiring duplicative bonding. The protection of 362 million cubic miles of our water is our legacy and our heritage. I urge your support, and as a footnote, think about this. If oil stuck around like water, we'd be in a whole lot better shape.
Representative Harris.
I think I fouled up here not addressing amendment number two, but now that it's in the full draft, I'll address it. It went from, on page six, it went from at least one publication of a newspaper in general circulation of the general area to two publications. And I'm just a question for the sponsor. What if the area only has one? Are you required to try to go out and find another area that newspaper is that, even though it wouldn't be in the general area, that is that... Is that, it might be all right in the larger areas, but a lot of the smaller areas don't have two newspapers of general applicability. So just a question for the sponsor, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hines.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We looked at this, and for that very fact, we were, the commissioner of DEC was talking about using the Anchorage Daily News and then the local newspaper to assure that.
Representative Harris?
Just to rattle, the Anchorage Daily News obviously doesn't circulate throughout the entire state, although they might think they do. A lot of places don't get the Daily News, and certainly don't get it on a timely manner. So, you know, Mr. Speaker, I think we ought to rethink that, and it may cause a problem. Thank you.
Representative Curtulo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Actually, we had gone around on whether there might be areas where there weren't two newspapers, and I think that the grammar in the section is actually now going back to the original language of the statute, saying it's two publications of a newspaper. So I think that you could get by with having two publications in the same paper. Thank you. In case, you know, there, it is a small area, and some places don't have general circulation with two or more publications.
Harris.
Just briefly to make sure it's on the record. So is it the understanding of the body then that two publications in are two separate times that it's notification in the same newspaper would qualify under this statute?
That is my understanding, and I'll yield to the sponsor.
Representative Hines?
Come on, do it. That is also my understanding.
Groomberg.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. It may be the problem is the use of the term publication. It may be better to say two separate editions of the same of the public. And I'd ask the sponsor. What I was suggesting, Mr. Speaker, on line 7, it may be the word publications that's causing a problem. It may be better if we were to say two separate editions of the same. That might clear up the ambiguity. May we have a brief at ease?
I'll stand at ease.
Back to order. Prior to the at ease, we were discussing opponent in the bill. Representative Groomberg, are you satisfied with the response that you've received from the sponsor?
I hesitate to say anything, but I am.
Representative Croft.
Yeah, just explain, and I apologize to people watching. I think more of this ought to be done on the record so that the people watching the process can understand what we're doing. When we do it at ease and then the objection is just withdrawn, it's hard for them to understand what went on. The discussion was about, and it was specifically brought up by the co-chair of finance from Valdez, and using Valdez as an example, though it applies to any of the smaller communities in the state, what would the publication requirements be now under this bill? To use Valdez as an example, it would have to be published once in the Valdez Star, and then another time, either again in the Star or in the ADN if you wanted there. But I think the worry was, and it's a perfectly appropriate one, you couldn't get away with just doing it in the Daily News. You have to do it at least once in the paper of general circulation, which the Daily News is not. You can get it, but it's not a general circulation paper in Valdez or other small communities. So at least once in the community paper there, and then at least one more time in that paper again or in another vehicle.
Thank you, Representative Croft. Is there further debate on House Bill 524? Ready for the question. The question before the House is the passage of House Bill 524, amended. House. Y'all can vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Madam Clerk.
36 yeas, 1 nay.
And so the House has finally passed House Bill 524, amended House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of House Bill 524 amended be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the passage of the bill will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on the calendar?
There's a citation on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation on today's calendar be adopted.
Without objection, the citation on today's calendar is adopted. Brings us to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business, Mr. Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the following representatives be excused from the call of the House for the following times. Representative Crawford from 7:30 p.m. Thursday, March 25th until 10 a.m. Plain Time, Monday, March 29th. Representative Croft from 10 p.m. Friday, March 25th until 8 a.m. Plain Time, March 27th. Representative Hines, who was previously excused from 7 p.m. Friday, March 26th until 10 a.m. plain time Monday, March 29th, amends her departure to 7:30 p.m. Thursday, March 25th. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, those members were shown as excused on the dates and times indicated by the majority leader. Under unfinished business, just for the edification body, it is my intent to create a joint gas pipeline committee. Hopefully the resolution will be introduced for your consideration on Monday. If you are interested in being a part of that committee, I would ask you to notify my office so that we can start to formulate the membership. Brings us down to committee announcements. Are there committee announcements? Representative Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Due to not very many pieces of legislation, again, the Resource Committee will not be meeting tomorrow. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Massey. Are there further committee announcements? General announcements. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to announce that this weekend is the annual legislative shootout. If you are interested, you can come to my office and sign up, and we would prefer that you do it today so that we have all the teams organized and ready to go. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. Thank you. It starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, and shooting begins at 9. Thanks.
Legislative shootout. If you're interested, sign up. Further general announcements? Special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the notice and publications requirements be waived and a citation honoring the William Tyson Elementary School be made a special order of business at this time.
Is there objection? Seeing none.
And Mr. Speaker, because of the lateness of getting this on the floor, those who want to sign on, if they would just sign the document on their desk and get it to the chief clerk, they will do that. And so with that, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation be adopted.
Seeing no objection, then, the citation is adopted. House, briefly stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Chenault.
Mr. Speaker, could we move back up the calendar to...
Without objection, we'll move on to introduction of guests. Representative Chenault.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the Paratrovich Gallery, there's two gentlemen sitting there. I think some of you may know Doug Thurwechter. And the gentleman sitting beside him is Kent Hampton. They're both from Marathon Oil. Kent is up from Houston, so is Doug. And they're looking at projects on the Kenai that they have going. So if you would, please help me welcome them to Juneau.
Seeing no further guests, it brings us back down the calendar to special orders. Representative Rogeberg. Representative Foster.
Yes, sir. We've got a birthday today. I wonder if I can read his biography.
Without objection.
That he wrote. He sits next to my good friend from Kotzebue, right over here in front, Mr. Speaker. He was born on March 25, 1949. He's 55 today. Let's see. I guess that's a rural landmark. I think you can move into the fireweed place now, huh? Yeah. And he says it's scary when you start making the same noises as your coffee maker. He was born in Berkeley, California. Occupation, commercial salmon fisherman. Attorney, professor in Kodiak College, executive director of the Alaska Ocean Seas and Fisheries Research Foundation. His wife is Susan. Stepchildren, Sarah and Alex. And he graduated from the University Without Walls at Berkeley in 1972. And also the University of Idaho College of Law, Juris Doctorate in 1985. He's jack of all trades here, former regent of the University of Alaska, acting president of that institution, former mayor of Kodiak Island Borough, former assemblyman, and former deputy mayor. And he's actually got a whole page here of his resumes, and he's done just about everything in Kodiak over the years. He's been in Kodiak for over 30 years. Special interests, hunting. And he says here, don't go hunting with Chenault or anybody else named Chuckalug. And reading and travel he enjoys also, and he says he's currently reading Berkowitz's Guide to the Juneau Channel. His hobby? He loves country music, Mr. Speaker. His favorite song is "I Still Miss You, Baby, But My Aim's Getting Better." And in his statement, he says, "When the tide of life turns against you and the current upsets your boat, don't waste time on what might have been. Just lie on your back and float." I wonder if my good friend from Ketchikan can lead us into singing "Happy Birthday" to our good friend.
Representative Williams.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dan. Happy birthday to you.
Representative Ogg, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last year, I came here on March 17th and was sworn in. Went home for a week, came back, and I think the first day I stood on the floor was my birthday, and it was quite a surprise. And had words been money, I would have been an impecunious mendicant. But this year is not quite the same. So I really want to thank and honor my friend from Nome, a town like Kodiak. We're on an island, and he's on the mainland, surrounded by islands, so it's a little different, but we're very similar cultures. He's in mining, digging in the ground, and I'm in the ocean digging for fish. But you know, this feels a lot, and last year it felt like that too, and I was a little bit flush in the face. It feels like you've won an Oscar or something. Everybody gets up and applauds you. And so I really want to take this opportunity to respond in sort of a like fashion. I'd like to say hi to my dad. I'd also like to say hi to my staff member's son, who also shares this birthday with me today. Fisher Dover is his name, and he's 3. So. And both of us were robbed of our birthright in 1752, when the United States, not wasn't the United States then, but when Great Britain adopted the pagan calendar put in by Gregorian. And what that did was remove the first of the year from March 25th back to January 1st. So we're both suffering under that impediment today. But I thank my father for his good deeds getting me here. And I'd also like to say hi to Ivor Malutin, a good friend in Philia.
I was talking to Representative Ogg's wife recently, and she told me that he was reading a book and found out that that by talking to your plants, it helps make them grow. Since that time, he's every morning when he gets up, he talks to his hair. I, too, have started that routine. Are there further special orders? Mr. Minority Leader?
I don't, Mr. Speaker. Request permission to speak about Mid-American.
Without objection?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Many of you might be aware that there was a letter, a press release from Mid-American, who was one of the proponents, had a pipeline proposal in front of us, saying that they were no longer going to pursue the pipeline proposal. And I want to encourage them to come back to the table. I think they offer a terrific deal for the state. I think they offer the opportunity to move the ball forward on our pipeline immediately. I think they're willing to inject cash into their proposal right now. They're a proposal that involves many Alaskan companies, many Alaskan interests. I think they're a strong company that can help advance Alaska's interests, particularly as we wrestle with the producers for the production of gas. But I'm also really concerned that these negotiations broke down. I'm concerned because I don't know what happened in those negotiations, Mr. Speaker. And I don't know what happened because they've been done somewhat secretively. And I did have a meeting with the governor today. I appreciated his efforts to attempt to convey to me what had occurred. I'm still not in complete understanding of what his position is. But I know that Alaska is not in as good a position as it was when Mid-American had a healthy, viable proposal in front of us. So to that extent, the ability of this legislature to come up with a joint pipeline oversight committee is a terrific idea. I think we have been too long in just simply trusting the administration to move forward with its negotiations without ensuring that they're doing so in the best interest of the state. We have been too long. And I'm sorry that the administration failed in its effort to keep Mid-American at the table. We got a press release here where it's a somewhat incredulous statement that the governor's press release and or letter to Mid-America and their press release crossed in the mail. And, you know, we're past the point where making things up suffices as a real explanation. The truth is, as I understand it, negotiations didn't go well. And we have an obligation to make sure that if we can get Mid-American back to the table, that they do go well, that other proposals get the full hearing that they're entitled to, and that nowhere in this process do we forget that we have an obligation to make sure that Alaska's gas gets produced for Alaskan interests. We're not doing it for the producers. We're not doing it for the pipeline companies. We are doing it to ensure benefit to all the people of this state in a way that translates not just for this generation, but for generations to come. So thank you, Mr. Speaker, for encouraging the Rules Chair to put a pipeline committee together. We need to do it. And I encourage the administration to do what it can to bring Mid-American back to the table. It is the best proposal I have seen out there, and we ought to be doing everything we can to make a deal happen.
Representative Mergowitz. Representative Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the same subject.
Without objection, same subject.
Let's, Speaker, let's be very careful about criticizing things that we truly don't know about, because Mid-America's proposal, all the details of it aren't available to us as a legislature. And in the Stranded Gas Act, it's we don't do the negotiations. I'm similar to the minority leader in the fact that I wish that the negotiations had not broken down. I strongly believe that they can be brought back to the table. If the project is viable economically and otherwise, they will be back. But there are other proposals, and I think there may be other proposals in the works. But, Mr. Speaker, the thing that we need to remember is that gas belongs to all Alaskans. It belongs to basically everybody in the United States. And it's certainly our duty, there's no doubt about it, as legislators, to encourage, to foster an environment that brings people to the table that want to produce that gas for the benefit of all Alaskans. But, Mr. Speaker, I encourage all members of this body to not jump to conclusions, to not think that we have the answer to this, because we have not been part of and will not be part of the negotiations with anybody in this. This is something that's been given to the administration under the Stranded Gas Act, and certainly we can have our opinions and our advice, but we are not part of the negotiation team. We are ratification of that agreement, either up or down, when it's brought to us. So we need to be careful that we're not interjecting ourselves into the process until that is brought to us. I think it's certainly viable for us and important for us to have our input into saying things that we wouldn't support if it was brought to us, so that kind of a contract or that kind of an agreement is not brought to us. But to say that we are going to do the negotiations is not accurate and doesn't fly under the Stranded Gas Act. So, Speaker, I certainly encourage the administration as well to continue to try and bring to us a good quality proposals that get our gas to market, and I hope that will happen in the very, very near future. Thank you.
Representative Fate.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the same subject.
Without objection.
Mr. Speaker, the previous speakers have hit some very salient points on this. Hopefully those points have not closed the door and that they're still cracking that door for those negotiations to take place. But there's a new dynamic that this may also encourage, and that dynamic is, of course, the federal legislation. The price of gasoline has given legs to that federal legislation. Perhaps this will be a stimulus for that legislation to carry through, which will carry two of the points, which will help any pipeline to have a risk mediation on this. So, Mr. Speaker, hopefully this will have something good will come out of this, and hopefully, once again, as I've repeated, that there's still a crack in the door for negotiations. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Fate. Representative Guttenberg.
On the same subject, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection.
One of the concerns I have with the loss of this proposal from the owner of Mid-America is the perspective that a person like Warren Buffett brings to the state of Alaska. somebody whose name is on the front page of the Wall Street Journal and financial news around the world. Having somebody like Mr. Buffett take a look at Alaska means that business interests and economic diversity start looking to Alaska and start looking about opportunities here because, my God, if Warren Buffett's paying attention, maybe we should also. With the loss of Mid-America's proposal and Mr. Buffett's backing of it as the owner, I'm just concerned about what other businesses won't be looking to Alaska at this point. And I do hope he comes back to the table. And I do hope that the gas line gets built in the most expedient way, because many Alaskans are counting on it as part of the economic package that moves us forward. But as I said earlier, that's just gas. What else? What other economic opportunities are going to be lost here when you have somebody like the Buffetts look at Alaska and dismiss it as a place with not a good economic climate for them to do business? And that's a concern that I have.
Representative Guttenberg, Representative Stepovich.
Same subject. I agree with the representative from Valdez. These negotiations, we don't know enough about what's going on to really ascertain. But I do want to know if anybody, member of the body, does know what broke down these negotiations, or better yet, what stalled these negotiations. I hope they're stalled. And if anybody does have an answer to that, I'm of interest to that. I'm sure it'll be in the paper soon enough, but we as a body, if we know, please share.
Representative Guerra.
Hey, Mr. Speaker. I had a very interesting Mr. Speaker. Thank you. I had a very interesting conversation with the governor a number of months ago when this whole process was in its infancy. And a number of us were concerned that we would end up at the spot that we ended up today, which is no deal and an inability to know whether or not a deal could have been achieved. The governor has two obligations. They're both very difficult obligations. One is to negotiate the best deal possible for us. That is to give away as little as possible. And the other is to use every single effort possible to make sure that we do enter into a deal that's in the interests of this state. I think there's something we can do in the future, Mr. Speaker. I think this body has worked very well together in recent months. And I think we will never know whether or not negotiations were engaged in as strong a way as they could have been engaged in unless we have a spot at the table. Certainly this legislature could work with the governor to get the governor's agreement, possibly, at least we could try to get the governor's agreement to allow the legislature also to have a negotiator at the table. Maybe just a negotiator who monitors. And the person who jumps out at me, I think of, is Governor Hickel's former Attorney General, Charlie Cole, but there are others too. I think we need to be involved, because as we stand here, the member from Fairbanks just said, we don't know why the negotiations broke down, and we may never find out why the negotiations broke down, and we may never know what kind of strength the governor's office put behind the efforts to make this negotiation work. The only other thing I would mention is this. Again, just like the member from Fairbanks just said, we should know why the negotiations broke down, and I think it's a great step that the speaker has mentioned that we are going to have a gas pipeline committee. I think one of its duties should be that we bring people to the table and grill them and find out what happened in these negotiations, because I want to make sure that the governor's office did expend every single ounce of energy possible to make sure that the best deal possible could have occurred. And maybe they did, but maybe they didn't, and we need to know that, and I think that should be an order of duty of the pipeline commission group that we've created. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Guerra. Representative Croft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On permission to speak on who owns Alaska.
Without objection.
And that's, of course, Wally Hickel's quote, but it's a lot of our concern. It's been, was born here in 64 shortly after the earthquake, and growing up, it was always this sense of, that's been the central struggle of Alaska's history. Our drive to have the maximum control over our lives. It's not just the current era, it's been the central struggle of Alaska's history for a long time. Whether we, as the residents here,
or the federal government or the outside corporations that are developing the resources are going to be in control over our destiny. It was true when Russians were taking furs out and leaving very little here, when the Kennecott copper mine was taking copper with gold, with fish, with timber, now with oil and gas. Who's going to make the decisions about the developments that affect our lives? It was said most beautifully by Bob Bartlett in his speech to the Constitutional Convention, November 8th, 1955, about the dangers we have when our destiny is controlled, our decisions are made somewhere else besides here. And if I could just very briefly read from that speech. In the midst of that speech, Senator Bartlett said, two very real dangers are present. The first and most obvious danger is that of exploitation under the thin guise of development. The taking of Alaska's mineral resources without leaving some reasonable return for the support of Alaska governmental services and the use of all the people of Alaska will mean a betrayal in the administration of the people's wealth. But there's a second one. The second danger is that outside interests determined to stifle any development in Alaska, which might compete with their activities elsewhere, will attempt to acquire great areas of Alaska's public lands in order not to develop them, until such a time as they, in their omnipotence and the pursuance of their own interests, see fit. If large areas of Alaska's patrimony are turned over to such corporations, the people of Alaska may be even more the losers than if the land had been exploited. What we do know about what happened in these negotiations, admittedly limited, and I think we as a body have to decide whether we're going to be participants in this or not. We have to decide whether we're going to be able. Imagine how difficult it would be, Mr. Speaker, if we learned at the same time Mid-America's withdrawn and here's another proposal. Vote yes or down, yes or no, up or down. And I can only tell you that we say, why'd that other one go away? Well, I can't tell you that. Why is this the best deal we could get? Well, it's just the best deal we could get. Vote up or down. Do you like it or you don't? We can't make that decision of 2 or 4 or 6 weeks or months now from now with the information we have now. And we don't want to be in the position we are now making the decision about pushing the red or the green button about a proposal that we can't be sure is the best deal we could get. What we do know about is this from the press release, from other public statements, that exclusivity and availability of the gas were key elements in the breakdown. That is, Mid-America said, if we're going to spend $18 billion of our own cash doing this, we've got to be the exclusive pipeline doing it. There can't be another pipe running on along the way that's the producer pipe. And we know that from their press releases, from other public statements. We also know that the availability of the gas, that is, the producer's position on whether they would sell at all to Mid-America, was a key aspect of that. Beyond that, we don't know, but let's think of those two aspects briefly. This is our resource. It's a resource that has not been developed for 25 years. If a key aspect in this negotiation was who makes the decision about which pipeline and whether they sell at all our resource, then the kind of question that Bob Bartlett asked 50 years ago, the kind of concern that we've had for all of Alaska's history is still very much before us. We have people who have contractually agreed to market our gas who have never done so and who over a disagreement between whether they're going to let it available and if so exclusively or with competing pipelines is killing this project now or at least affecting the applications. It's still, as it always has been, who owns Alaska and who makes these decisions. This is the most exciting resource development opportunity we have, probably will have for the next 50 years. We can talk about Donlin Creek and timber development, and those are good things that we ought to pursue, but nothing has the economic potential, both in raw dollars for the state of Alaska and in the amount of economic development it spurs itself with cheap energy for our state, that this does. Who owns Alaska? We need to be the people that make this decision. We as the legislature, but more generally, we as the people of the state, not have it made for us for reasons we don't understand and no one will explain. The frustration we feel right now about this is going to be played out in spades, and the frustration the public will feel when the decisions were made without their input and on bases that we cannot explain to them. The thing I like most about the Mid-America proposal is its independence, is that we will finally have broken into two pieces the production and transportation of this resource. When they're combined, when the same people produce it and transport it, the market doesn't work appropriately. I mean, markets, the free market system works when you have independent actors that make rational economic decisions. When you put that sort of monopoly together, weird results happen. For the first time in our development of our petroleum resources, we would have had separate and distinct, independent, freestanding, healthy entities, one producing and one transporting. The producers having an interest in having the tariff be as low as possible, and we would join with them to make sure the tariff rate was set appropriately. The transporters having the interest in pushing as much gas through as possible, because that's how they make their money, and we would have that shared interest with them. When you combine the two entities, those cheap transportation is no longer an incentive, and that maximum production may not be, depending on other world rise. Breaking them apart produces a rational economic structure for our petroleum resources for the first time. And so I was very excited months ago when this proposal came. I'm very disappointed now, and I'm worried for a state that has been trying to find itself for all of its history, whether we have the courage at this juncture to stand up and make these decisions, not have them made to us.
Representative Croft. Representative Hines.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I applaud you and the Rules Chairman.
Your topic?
Same subject.
Objection.
I applaud you and the Rules Chairman on the creation of this committee. I think in the next few days, as the facts unfold as to what happened, where the negotiations broke down, we as a body can take that information and hopefully move forward. Perhaps we'll have a second chance, but at least we can look back and see where it did go wrong and move forward. I think it's our responsibility. We owe it to the people of this state, and I look forward to being part of that move forward.
Representative Hines. Representative Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Permission to speak about best interests of the state?
Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think due to all the discussion that's been done on the floor today, we need to look at the most important thing, and that's protecting the state of Alaska. And you know, we're not experts on the subject. I claim I'm not anyway, and we need experts to negotiate with experience on this issue. And some of the issues that are relying on this negotiation process is probably the lowest possible tariff. They need to be looking at that, and also the risks and the role the state might be prepared to assume if things were to happen with Mid-America or with TransCanada. So, Mr. Speaker, I think we're probably jumping the ball on this, but it's a really crucial and a big, important project, and if we try to rush forward and push something that's this sensitive to the state of Alaska, I think we need to move forward with caution. And we do have a lot of fine people within the department and that can counsel the administration as far as trying to come up with a contract dealing with the gas line. So I think we need to sit back and really find out first what is the best for the state of Alaska. And, you know, with the Trans-Alaska Pipeline having been built back in the 70s, Alaska has come a long way, and we have a lot of resources out there to develop. But the most important thing is to do what's best for the state of Alaska. So I'm really happy to see that the governor did respond to Mr. David Scola with the chairman and executive of Mid-America Energy Holding, and they would like to continue the debate as far as where things may have went, and I think we should give them that time to sit at the table again and discuss these important issues as far as the tariffs and what risk the state will take if we decide to come upon a contract. And last but not least, the legislative body does have to approve any contract that comes out. And I think it's important that we let the experts work on these big deals that concerns the state of Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Massey, is there further special orders? In that case, it was back in 1913 that here in Juneau, the Pioneer Igloo No. 6 was organized. And for those who are not aware of what the Pioneer
was all about. That was an organization that still is that honors our pioneers. And as you continue throughout the day, my deep thought of the day is if you are facing in the right direction, all you have to do is keep walking. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. The House stand adjournment till 11 a.m. Monday, March 29th.
Adjourn till Monday, 11 a.m.